We're going to get our Bibles open to Proverbs. Proverbs is in the Old Testament. If you need a Bible, please put a hand in the air, or if you're using your app, it's about halfway through the list of Bible books. But we're in Proverbs this evening, and we're going to be in the book of Proverbs really through till Christmas on Sunday evenings, with a few little breaks in between. But this is where we're going to be. We're actually going to read the beginning of the book, and we're going to read the end of the book. It's if you're kind of into this kind of thing, you know, it's like your Google Maps destination. This is your starting point, Proverbs 1:1-7. This is your destination, Proverbs chapter 31. And so we're going to kind of read those two things side by side. Just while you're turning there, can I just also give a quick plug to next Saturday? So next Saturday, the 14th. Is another day we've got an opportunity to be in the market as a church family to get out there. I don't think we've got a massive sign up yet, have we, Steve? No, he's shaking his head. Just, you know, as a gentle reminder, this is one of the things we shouldn't be losing our momentum on as a church. So please, if you can, spare an hour next Saturday, please sign up. See Steve afterwards, he'll have a list. It's a great thing. This will probably be our last market until the warmer weather comes again, so please do that. Proverbs chapter 1, and starting at verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And now come with me to Proverbs 31. And we're going to be picking it up at verse 10. Proverbs 31, 668 in the church Bibles. And here we read, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for the task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. And just while the band are taking their seats, why don't we open our Bibles again, this time to Proverbs 31. We'll start there. I know it's at the end, but it will make sense in a minute. Proverbs 31, this wife of noble character. And we'll start there. But as we do, let's pray and seek God's help. Our God and our Father in heaven, we thank you that the scriptures are there to make us wise. Wise for salvation in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, but wise in how to do life. And Father, we ask tonight that you would be growing our wisdom. You say to us in the book of James that if any of us lacks wisdom, and Father, lots of us would sit here and say, yes, Father, we do. We do lack wisdom. We do lack the know-how to do life. We do lack that knowledge and insight so often that we need. And so, Father, please, teach us. Make us wise. Not wise in the world's eyes, wise in our own eyes, but wise in your eyes. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my kids love to watch Blue Peter. We're actually having a chat about Blue Peter at lunchtime today. Some people were saying, is it still going? Yes, it is still going. And my kids love to watch it. And if you've ever grown up knowing Blue Peter or ever watching this program, inevitably, in part of the show, they have a craft activity. And during the craft activity, it's always the same. They start showing you how to make this thing. And then kind of getting on towards the end, they always pull one out from under the table and they say, brilliant. So you all do watch Blue Peter. You've got a few people shaking your head. Here's one that I made earlier. In other words, as you kind of go about your craft activity, this is what you're aiming for. This is what you want it to look like. This is one that I made earlier. And as we come to Proverbs 31 this evening, what I want us to see is that's the kind of idea going on in Proverbs 31. Look with me at Proverbs 31, verse 10. It says there, a wife of noble character who can find. She is worth more than rubies. Now, as you read this, as we read this tonight, like we're all going to have different reactions to a chapter like that. But basically, what you're expecting is to walk onto the stage as Wonder Woman, right? If you know the Marvel character. You're expecting this kind of superwoman to kind of walk onto the stage and say, well, who is this woman, this wonder wife, this Wonder Woman, this wise wife? Who is she? What is this woman? And many of us, you see, I think, have read Proverbs 31. And if you're a woman and a wife, for many of us, this may have crushed us and have thought, how can I ever attain to being a woman like Proverbs 31? For some of us in this room, this is a chapter that may have inspired us and urged us on and said, hey, look, it's a great thing to be a hardworking and this Wonder Woman that we see here. And it's spurred many women on to be high achievers and hard workers. But I want to show you tonight that as this ancient book of Proverbs comes into land, what we're seeing here is more than just a model of the kind of wonder wife. And what we're seeing here is more than a plug for women's rights and their women's kind of working hard and achieving high. What we're seeing in this chapter is a model for all of us to attain to. You see, like many of the women that we will encounter as we go through the book of Proverbs, actually the wife here, this woman, this wonder woman, this wise wife, personifies wisdom. She personifies the fruit of wisdom, the fruit of having gone through, as it were, the book of Proverbs, and this is the kind of life that pops out at the end. In other words, Proverbs kind of holds up this book to us. It walks us through wisdom. This is what wisdom is. This is what wisdom is. And then it whips out on us at the end and says, here's one I made earlier. Do you see that? You see, this is what the wise life can look like. This is what it can be. This is something, a picture to attain to. It helps us, this chapter helps us to see this woman who is living life skillfully. You know, as we read through, what are we encountering? Who are we meeting? We're meeting a woman who, as she goes through life, seems to just make good choices. Good choices at work, good choices at home. She's hardworking, and she has plenty to go around because of her hard work. She's generous, and she cares for others. Just look at verse 20. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hand to the needy. People listen to her. She teaches others. People look up to her. Verse 26, we see that she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She's at peace. She feels secure. She laughs at troubles because she knows what to do. And she fears the Lord. Verse 30, see that? Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And whatever you've made of Proverbs 31 in the past, whether you are male or female tonight, whether you are married or unmarried, isn't this the kind of life that you want to attain to? Making good choices, knowing what to do in life situations, navigating your way through life so that you get the best outcomes in life. See, every day in this room, whether we're male or female, married or unmarried, we're all faced with choices, aren't we? We're all navigating a path through life. How should I use my time today? How should I use my money today? How should I reply to this person who's sent me an email? Should I reply harshly or should I not reply? How should I, maybe if your parents, you'll know the situation that your kids come to you and someone says, they did this, and no, I didn't do this, they did this. And how do you navigate that? How do you discern between those kind of arguments? Or a teacher, you may get that kind of thing. Maybe you're thinking about jobs and job offers are coming in and you're thinking, well, how do I pick what job I do? How do I determine between job one and job two? Should I stick in this difficult situation or should I leave it? You know, these are navigating choices that all of us make every day. And how many of us, when we face those, are kind of left there thinking, do you know what? I don't know what to do. I'm stuck here. I need some help. If only Wonder Wife was here, she would know what to do. This woman of noble character, this highly capable woman, she would tell me what to do. Why? Because she personifies wisdom. She's learned the lessons that we're gonna see as we go through this book together. She'd know the outcome. And so, friends, how do we arrive at being Wonder Wife, wise wife? How do we arrive at being this wise person? Well, to get there, we have to go back to Proverbs chapter 1. So will you go there with me now? How do you arrive at being this woman that is personifying wisdom in Proverbs 31? Well, let's go to Proverbs 1 and look at how it starts. This is the start of the journey. You see, in Proverbs 1, this is what it says you need to become wise. And it breaks down into a number of things. The first thing that we're going to see in Proverbs 1 is this. How do you become the wise wife? First of all, be a hearer. Be a listener. See, look at verse 1 with me. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. We're going to spend our Sunday evenings looking at a book filled with the words of a man named Solomon. It's a collection of proverbs, which are kind of sayings, condensed sayings and parables and pictures and riddles that capture some things about life. Many children in our church family over the last week have enrolled in new schools, not least one of my children has done that. And they've arrived at the school and they've met some new teachers from whom they will spend the next 5, 6, 7 years learning from. And as we read these opening words of the book of Proverbs, We're being invited to enroll in the school of wisdom. We're being invited to enroll in a school where Solomon sits as our teacher. His wisdom, his knowledge. We're to sit and we're to say, okay, here's your words. We want to listen. We want to get to Proverbs 31. We want to be this wise woman, this wise life. We want to get there, all of us. And why this evening should any of us here in Enfield enroll in Solomon's School of Wisdom? Why should we give our Sunday evenings to being here and listening and learning from this man and his proverbs and his captured sayings? Well, Solomon, some of you will know, is a man who was granted unique wisdom from God. His words are not just earthly words. They're not just a bit of kind of Waterstone's self-help book. Solomon's words are God's words. See, in 1 Kings 3, many of you will know the story, we hear the account of Solomon sacrificing before God. He'd just become king of this nation, Israel, and he's sacrificing, and then in the evening, the Lord comes to him and says, Solomon, I've seen your sacrifices, and I want to give you anything you want. You ask for it. You name it, and it's yours. Now, I wonder how many of us would have asked, you know, how we would have answered that thing if God had said that to us. But Solomon says, God, I need wisdom. I need the skills, the life skills, the insight, the understanding, and the knowledge to lead this vast people that you've given me to lead. I need the life skills to do it. And listen to what God says in reply. God says in 1 Kings 3, verse 12, he says, I will do what you've asked. I will give you a wise and a discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you. Nor will there ever be. You see that? That's the Solomon. The Solomon verse 1 of Proverbs. The Proverbs of Solomon. His words is the one that God endowed with wisdom like no one else. And then in 1 Kings 4, I'm going to read you just a prolonged chunk, but listen carefully, because this describes the man that you're going to be listening to over this series of Sunday evenings. God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight, and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East, and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else, including Ethan the Ezrahite, wiser than Heman, Calcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. He spoke about plant life, from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssops that grow out of walls. He also spoke about animals and birds, reptiles and fish. From all nations, people came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. That's pretty wise, right? And this book that we're going to be looking at on Sunday nights is his proverbs, is his wisdom. They are wise words from a wise king. And Solomon has been granted an understanding of life from the creator of life. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom, this word wisdom, is the skills and the knowledge to live God's way in God's world, to navigate his way through life the way God made it to be. It actually comes from a Hebrew word called chokmah. And this word, chokmah, we none of us are Hebrew experts, or some of us are, but actually what it means is the same word when you read about a craftsman. And so when you read about the guys who are constructing the tabernacle in the Bible, and they're making this stunning thing with skills that no one else has, they're using their wisdom to do it. They're crafting something that everyone looks on and says, that's so skillful. And wisdom, this word wisdom, is a word that is about the skills to craft life, to navigate those decisions every day, to understand, how should I do this? How should I answer this person? How do I decide between my two arguing children? How do I do this? That is wisdom, navigating life. Let me try and explain it like this. I've got a plank of wood here. Some of you will know about wood, but you'll know that wood has all these lines that are running down it. Have you ever seen that? You see it on a table or something, don't you? Now, that's called the grain of the wood. And if you ever want to cut a piece of wood, if you cut down the grain, if you cut with these lines, it cuts really easily. If you try and cut against the grain, it cuts really hard, and it's hard work, and you'll blunt the saw. And God made life in a certain way. He made it with a grain that runs through it, the way things that are supposed to work. And if you try and cut against that grain, life's really hard. But if you learn to cut with the grain, then you're learning to live life the way God made it. Wisdom is learning to do life cutting with the grain. It's learning to do life the way God intended it to be done. Let's just pop that down for a second. See, that is wisdom. Doing life our own way, living life with our own choices, trying to weave our own way through is like cutting across the wood. You'll blunt the saw and it'll be hard work. But living it God's way is cutting with the way He made life to work. And Solomon, if you're still with me, Solomon is a man who was given great wisdom and great insight into how to cut with the grain, in how to do life the way God made life to work, how to have insight and skills to do life, to understand the world, and importantly, to teach others how to do it too. And so why should you listen to Solomon? Why should you be a hearer? Why is that how you start your journey to being this wise wife with the wise life? Well, just look at the benefits. If you devote yourself to listening to this book, to engaging with this part of the scriptures, look at the benefits that come in verses 2-6. These proverbs are for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. As we listen in to the king, this wise king endowed with God's wisdom, we will learn to do life skillfully. We will learn to cut with the grain. We will learn how to do life the way God made it to be done. See, we will learn how to, let me put it like this, read between the lines. You know Sherlock Holmes? You know, we walk into a room and we see mess. Excuse me, or Watson walks into the room and he sees mess. But Sherlock Holmes walks into the room and he sees stuff. You know, he sees kind of, oh, there's this over here, which means this happened, and this over here. He can see things differently. And you see in the second half of verse 2, for understanding words of insight, that word insight is the ability to read between the lines in life. We will gain a catalogue of common sense and knowledge, both of which will help us to do life the best way. That's the idea in verse 3 there, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, this kind of catalogue of common sense. We will learn as we dive into this book, and friends, it's going to be real with us. It's going to really teach us. As we go through the book of Proverbs, we're going to learn about life in all its fullness, in all its realness. We're going to learn about money and sex and alcohol and relationships and marriages, and we're going to learn about working and social life and the friends that we pick and family. This is a real book on doing real life, but it's learning to do it God's way, learning to cut with the grain. We're going to learn wisdom that shapes our morals. So wisdom isn't just about morals, but when you're wise, it will affect your morals. Look again at verse 3. You see, you're going to end up learning what is right and just and fair. And this book is going to be hard on us, okay? You know, if you think it's an easy thing and it's going to be gentle on you, then I'm really sorry, it's not. Because look at verse 1 again, verse 2. For gaining wisdom and instruction. Now, that word instruction is the idea of discipline. I don't know if you've ever watched any of these programs where ordinary people go on army training courses. And there they are, these kind of soft people, and they've got this army officer right up in their face shouting, "You need to give me 10 press-ups!" And they're shouting and they're pushing these people harder and harder. And I want to say to you that the book of Proverbs is going to get right up in your face, and it's going to stand on your toes, and hopefully it won't make us do press-ups, but it will challenge us. It will challenge us, because instruction means discipline. It means being corrected. It means saying, you're doing it this way, but you should be doing it this way. You ready for that? Be a hearer. Going to school with Solomon will help us to be wise. It will help us to cut with the grain of life. Doing life God's way in God's world. And who of us should sign up to this school? Can any of us disappear for Sunday nights? Well, actually, we discover that there's three groups mentioned who should sign up to Solomon's school. Look at verse 4. For giving prudence to those who are simple. Now, I doubt many of us will kind of sign up to that. Well, that's me. Well, it actually is me. But hey, listen, here's the thing. Simple means gullible. And again, probably not many of us are sticking up our hand at that point and saying, oh yeah, that's me. But actually, don't we spend our life being pulled around from one opinion to another? You know, when you've got a problem and one person gives you one piece of advice and another person gives you another piece of advice, don't you end up in this kind of distorted, oh, well, that sounded good. I think I'll go with that. Oh no, that sounds a bit better. I'm going to go this way. And we bounce our way through life. That's the simple. When you're gullible, when you're so easily pulled around and you think, I don't know what to do, I'm just going to go with the next person that tells me what to do. Who else is it for? Well, look at verse 4 again. Knowledge and discretion to the young. Teenagers, we love the fact that you're in church with us. This book is for you. It's for the young person who hasn't yet formed all their views on how life works. This is to get right into your head and your heart to help you to learn to do life God's way. And who else is it for? So if you're thinking, well, I don't really want to admit to being simple, and I'm definitely not young. Well, who else is it for? Well, look at verse 5. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. Do you know, one of the things about wisdom is there's always more to learn. And however long you've been in church, however long you've been following the way of wisdom, however long or however old or however wise you may be, this book is for you, so that you might grow in wisdom. You see, be a hearer. That's where it begins. Be a hearer. Listen to the wise king. That is the path to becoming this wonder wife, this wise woman, this person that personifies wisdom. Wisdom is found in hearing from the king that God has endowed with wisdom. Do you hear that? Wisdom is found in hearing the king that God has endowed with wisdom, enrolling in his school. And friends, it is great for us to listen to Solomon, and we will listen to Solomon lots. But actually, Solomon in the Bible is a character who leads us on to a much wiser king. Listen to these words from Jesus in Matthew's Gospel. He says this, "The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now something greater than Solomon is here." We are called, friends, to be a hearer of Jesus, the king that God has endowed with wisdom, that we might come from the ends of the earth and we might listen to what he has to say. People came from all over the world to listen to Solomon. But people all over the world today are gathering to Jesus, the King that God has endowed with wisdom, so they might listen to him. Colossians, a great letter in the New Testament, tells us that in Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So, where does our journey begin to becoming the wise wife or living the wise life? It begins with being a hearer of Jesus, the one who has wisdom. Enroll in his school. But what's the second thing, much more briefly? We need to learn to be a fearer. We need to be a hearer to the king, but we need to learn to be a fearer. That is the very first lesson that the wise king teaches us. Look at verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And if you know the book of Proverbs, halfway through it, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. They're kind of interchangeable terms. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Being wise, gaining knowledge, begins with, is founded upon fearing God. One person put it like this, and I'm simply going to quote it because I can't think of a better way to put it. They said, what your ABCs are to reading Shakespeare, what playing the scales are to performing Bach, what 2 + 2 = 4 is to doing calculus, the fear of the Lord is to wisdom. We start there and we never leave it behind. Can I read that one more time, perhaps just to let that go in? What your ABCs are, what my Zebby's doing at school, learning the alphabet, what the ABCs are to reading Shakespeare, you need it, don't you, if you're ever going to read Shakespeare. What playing the scales are, those hours that my kids spend doing their scales on the trumpet and all that kind of stuff, what that is to learning to play great pieces of music. What 2 + 2 = 4 is, the most basic of maths, is to doing calculus, the complicated stuff. The fear of the Lord is to wisdom. We start there and we never leave it behind. To fear the Lord, friends, is to turn from a life that has been turned away from him, and it is to let God be God. It is to humbly admit that we are nothing without him. We are not creators, we are creatures. To fear the Lord is to let God take his rightful place in our life. And can I say, maybe it's a helpful way to think about it, but in Genesis chapter 3, that the account of how humanity kind of turned its back on God, what you've got is a great reversal there. You've got Adam and Eve taking God out of his rightful place, the one who rules and has the right to make rules in this world, and they dethrone him. They take him off of the throne, and they flip the order around. And to be wise, to fear the Lord, is to put God back in his right place, the place that Adam and Eve took him out of. And why is that the beginning of wisdom? You know, why does wisdom start there? Why does doing life well start with putting God back in his right place? Well, come back with me to the grain thing. Imagine for a moment, okay, this vacuum thingy. Well, it is a vacuum because we know it is. But imagine that we all kind of stumbled across this, okay? So we came in one Sunday night, and it was there in the middle of the room, and we'd never seen one before. And we were like, ooh, what is it? And we're looking maybe at the sky, like maybe it fell from the sky. And we're like, what is it? You know, and somebody looks at it for a while, you know, one of the older men in the church, and they're wise. And they say, well, actually, you know, I think it's a new musical instrument, and I think we should play it in the band tonight. And, you know, they start picking it up, and they start doing it. And someone says, no. I think you're wrong. I think it's actually something for doing your hair. And then they pick it up, and they start sucking their hair, and hair disappears in and comes out all crinkled up. And we're all kind of throwing in our things and saying, oh, yes, this is wisdom. This is what this is for. But then imagine that James Dyson kind of walks into it and says, what are you doing with that thing? And we listen to James Dyson because James Dyson invented it. He's the maker of this thing, and he says it's for cleaning up dirt on the floor. And this is how you use it. And he comes in and he shows us what to do, and we're all like, oh, the maker has shown us how it works. And friends, that is why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Because the Lord is the creator of life. And when you get him in his right place, and when you say, I'm going to submit to you, and I'm going to listen to you, and I'm going to let you tell me what to do, then no wonder life starts to make sense. Because the same is true of the Lord, isn't it, when it comes to life. It's why Proverbs 31, as it describes this wonder woman, says to us, she was someone who feared the Lord. Because it's the foundation of wisdom. And so I want to ask you tonight, are you a fearer? Are you a fearer of God? Have you put God in his right place in your life? See, as we listen to the wisdom of the Lord Jesus, he too calls us to turn. The book of Proverbs, one of the first things it does is it turns you to the Lord, and then it tells you how to follow the Lord. And as you listen into Jesus, it is no different. He turns you to the Lord. He says, repent, believe. And as you turn to the Lord Jesus, you are met with forgiveness. You are met with grace for living your life turned away from him, for not fearing the Lord. You see, that is what it means to be wise, is to put God in his right place in your life. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of understanding how life works properly. Get the Creator in his right place. To skill up for life, we need to be a hearer. We need to be a fearer of the Lord. And finally, we must not be a fool. That's what it says. Don't be a fool. Look again at verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I recently heard the story of a young boy who used to go sailing a lot with his dad. And his dad was teaching him a thing or two. And then one day, this young boy decided that it would be great to take his younger brother out in the boat on his own. So he went and asked his dad, and he said, Dad, you know, I was thinking of taking, you know, I'll call him Tommy, little Tommy out on the boat, you know, going sailing. Is that all right? And the dad says, no, I don't think that's very wise because you don't know what you're doing yet. You know, you need me around to teach you. But anyway, this young boy decided that he would go ahead anyway. He decided he'd go it alone, and he took his little brother out in this boat, and it was a great start. Actually, they managed to pull away in this boat, and the wind took them, and they swept across the bay. But as they got towards the end of the bay, suddenly the young lad who decided to go it alone suddenly realized he didn't know what he was doing. And there they were, this boy and his younger brother, and they were being swept along. And at this moment, having ignored his dad's wisdom, having decided to go it alone, he realized that he was in big trouble, and things were terrible. And actually, eventually, a boat saw them, and they saw they were in trouble, and towed them home. But the boy realized that going it alone was not such a good idea. He rejected the advice. He despised what his dad had told him. And he decided that he'd just go for it. And going it alone didn't work for him. And as we come to the book of Proverbs, you see, we're going to meet a character. And it's called the fool. It's interesting how women in the Bible are always held up as the good guys, and men are always the fools and the bad guys in book of Proverbs. But hey, we won't go there tonight. But it's interesting, isn't it? You meet this character called the fool. And the fool, what is the fool like? Well, the fool is someone who tries to go it alone in life. Look at the contrast of verse 7. I want you to see this. So I'm conscious of time, but let's keep going for a few moments. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You see the contrast? A fool is someone who says, no, God, I don't want your wisdom. I don't need your instructions on how to do life. I'm going to work it out myself. I'm going to go it alone. I'm going to get on the boat and I'm going to, whoof, off I go. And I may take a few others with me. But the fearer is the one who embraces God and says, I need your wisdom and I need your instruction and I need your King, Jesus, whom I should listen to. See, fearing the Lord is to embrace him, but the fool despises God. The fool refuses to listen to the one that God has given us, who has all wisdom and understanding. Psalm 14, many of you will know it, but it puts it beautifully. It says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Going it alone. I'm going to go life on my own. I'm going to do it my way. I don't need to listen to God. Why would I do that? He's only the maker. I want to ask you this evening, very personally, some of you, are you trying to go life alone? Some of you teenagers, are you trying to go life alone? This book is for you. Are you trying to do it by yourself? Are you trying to say, I'm just going to go it myself? Are you showing contempt, any of us here, for the Bible? God's words of wisdom. See, it's very easy to get swept along with people who call the Bible outdated or irrelevant or commands for the past, but not for now. Do you respond rightly when someone maybe tries to correct you with the words of Scripture or Jesus' teaching? See, that shows us, doesn't it, whether we're foolish or whether we're wise. See, if you want to be wise, if you want to be truly wise, if you want to ever become this wife of noble character, this wonder wife, and I know that some of you guys are sitting here thinking that this evening, why would I want to be a wife of noble character? Because she personifies the wise life. That's why, blokes, we should want to be like her. But actually, if we're ever going to get there, we've got to listen to wisdom, not despise wisdom and instruction and training. See, how will we do the wise life? How will we ever get the skills to navigate those decisions that we're all called to make every day? How will we become wonder wife? Be a hearer. Listen to Jesus. Enroll in the school of wisdom. Listen to his voice. Come along on Sunday nights. Give yourself to learning. You know, allow the book to kind of get up and discipline us and train us so that we can do life God's way. Be a hearer. Be a listener. Be a fearer. Fear the Lord. Put him in his right place. Wake up every day and say, God, you're God. I'm not God. You're awesome. I'm not awesome. You know how life works. I don't. I need you. Wake up every day and say, I'm a fearer. I'm a God-fearer. And don't be a fool. Don't try and go it alone. Don't set out on the journey of life and say, I can do this. I've had a little bit of instruction. I can get in this sailing boat and whoosh, off I go. Because for the fool, as we discover in the book of Proverbs, things don't end well. So be a hearer, be a fearer, and don't be a fool. Friends, let's pray, shall we? And ask for God's help to put that into practice this week. Our Father in heaven, even as many of us think about the week that awaits us when we leave here tonight, we can just think that our lives are just made up of so many choices every day, situations that need navigating. Father, we need wisdom. Father, we often feel our weaknesses in these areas of life. Lord, teach us to be wise. Give us the ears to hear Jesus, to enroll in his school, to sit at his feet. Father, as the author of life, would we know you teaching us how to do life the way you called us to. Father, thank you for that wonderful promise that we prayed at the beginning, that you promised to give wisdom to all who ask you without finding fault. And Father, we are simply coming tonight and say, Lord, please give us wisdom for this week. Please give us wisdom on how to be wise. Father, please help us to live your way in your world, forgiving us for our foolishness where we've often tried to go it alone. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.